Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to today's Seed Time in Harvest broadcast. You're listening to Bishop Hutchinson. I pray that your day is blessed and highly favored wherever you are. Thanks to God. If you've been studying along with us, we've been going over a series of studies from the book of Joshua. And today we're continuing with that series of studies with a lesson entitled God Judges Sin, the very real consequences of sin. So I pray that you'll have your Bible, paper, and pencils, that you can be prepared to take notes and study along with us. We always encourage you to do that so that you can study and search the scriptures with us so that you can see whether the things that we say are so or not. It's very important, saints, that we just don't take someone's word for what we say God says, but it's good that we search it out for ourselves. So I pray that you'll have your materials ready to study with us. And I'm also going to give you our sense of truth and key verse in just a moment, but let me get a few announcements out of the way. We bless God for our corporate worship time that we had this morning, and every fourth Sunday of the month we have corporate worship here in Atlanta, Georgia, as well as our Saturday Cell Church Fellowship. You're invited to come out and join us at any of those events on our weekly Cell Church Fellowship or our monthly corporate worship and training seminars. And also, we'd like to welcome our new students into Grace Bible College and Seminary. Students are studying online around the world, and we're always blessed to have you a part of our studies as well as our weekly classes here in Atlanta that meet on Saturday. Let me give you our phone number where we can be reached at. Our phone number is 678-278-9622, and our main website is Amazing Grace Ministries. That's www.aggministries.com. We love to hear from you, and we thank you so much for all of our partners. May the peace and power and presence of God be upon all of your lives, as well as the priesthood of churches that are meeting around the world. Again, we're studying today a part of our series on the book of Joshua, a lesson entitled God Judges Sin, subtitled The Very Real Consequences of Sin. Now, our central truth today is that God judges sin, but forgive the penitent sinner. The key verse is coming from Psalm 51:1. It says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression." The New International Version reads like this: "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgression." Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you today. We ascribe worth to you, for you alone are worthy of all the glory and the honor and the praise. I thank you for each person that's under the sound and hearing my voice now. I thank you that your Holy Spirit is present and active in the atmosphere around them now to bring healing, to bring provision and salvation into their home. Touch now, God, help us to open up ourselves to the reality of sin and the consequences of sin. Help us to confess and embrace the forgiveness and the re-cleansing from sin that we can receive through your Son, Jesus Christ. So even now, we acknowledge your sovereignty over our lives and God. As we submit ourselves to your word today, teach us, bring things to our remembrance, and strengthen us in every area, that we may live a life that's pleasing and acceptable in your eyesight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah, saints. Welcome again to today's Seed Time and Harvest broadcast. You're listening to the Kingdom Broadcasting Network. Our lesson today is entitled God Judges Sin. And it's important for us to understand what sin is, what sin is not. Because a lot of times I think when most people hear the word sin, they think of a list of things that we should not do. But in some instances, that is true. But then it's not just a list of things we should not do based on our own standard. It is our things that we should not do based on God's standard, which is His commands, decrees, and statutes, as well as His word, as revealed to us through the teachings of the Bible. And in addition to that, saints, we need to realize that all sins are not a matter of things that we do against God's commands. Some sins are called sins of omission because we fail to do that which God instructs us to do. So we're going to learn today that no matter what side of the fence you fall on, whether it's a sin of commission or a sin of omission, that God judges sin and that there are very real consequences to sin. And as our sense of truth talks to us about today, that God also offers forgiveness for those who repent. So I pray that each and every one of us will govern ourselves accordingly as we listen to this lesson. Now, if you're going to be taking notes with us, here's the study text that we're going to use today. We're going to be coming from the book of Joshua, chapter 7, verse 1, through Joshua, chapter 8, verse 29. Now, you may not get a chance to go through the entirety of those texts, but you'll have that scripture to make reference to during and following the broadcast. Now, as we get into some of the introduction for this week's lesson about God judges sin, and as I mentioned, it's important for us to understand what sin is. We know that often in our society, people speak of big sins and little sins. Now, that gives the implication is that until a sin has reached a particular size, at least according to our standards, it has little consequences to God. But as we'll study today as through the text of Scripture, we'll see that on the contrary, as this study points out, all sin or all disobedience has consequences. The nature of the sin is not the issue, saints of God. It is the violation of God's commands or desires or will. That is what matters. And furthermore, sin also has a far-reaching impact. It ripples effect can be felt by more people than just the one who commits the sinful act. But we want to be thankful that there is hope for all of us, sinners and saints alike, regarding any sins that may be committed or have been committed. There are some remedies to this judgment that we'll speak of today, and that is a heartfelt confession and repentance that can restore you to a right relationship with God. And while God hates sin, His compassion extends to all who seek forgiveness. Amen. So there's hope for us all today, saints. I want you to know that, yes, God judges sin, and there are very real consequences to sin, but there is hope. So we're going to see an example today from the book of Joshua and the children of Israel. And our first outline I want to speak with you about, if you're taking notes, you can write these down. The first outline is corporate consequences of sin, how it affects not only the person who does it, but how it also affects other people associated with it. The second point of outline is individual consequences of sin. And our third and final point would be the benefit of removing sin. Hallelujah. And the way that we remove sin is to consecrate ourselves, to act, seek forgiveness, turn away from the things that we're doing contrary to God's will, and we receive the forgiveness of God. So let's talk about our first point of outline, which is corporate consequences of sin. If you're going to be taking notes or studying along with us, you can turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 7, and we'll read verses 1 through 11 about the corporate consequences of sin. And I'm reading from the new NIV version. Joshua 7 and 1 reads, "But the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Camri, the son of Zimri, the son of Zalah of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Aven, to the east of Bethel. And he told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the army will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary the whole army, for only a few people live there. Verse 4 reads, so about 3,000 went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gates as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. Verse 6 says, then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Pardon your servant, verse 8. Pardon your servant, Lord. What can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies, the Canaanites? And the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe us out and wipe your name out from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name? And then verse 10, the Lord spoke to Joshua and said, the Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. So here, saints, we see a depiction of the corporate consequence of sin, that as Joshua prepared to send spies out into the second city of conquest in the land of Canaan. Previously, the week before, we studied how they had conquered the fortified city of Jericho, or how God had given them the victory over that city. And sometimes, saints, we need to be careful that we don't get overconfident or ever start thinking that we can do things on our own. We see here that Joshua did not seek God. He did not set aside the people. They did not question whether people were devoted to God. They simply thought because there was a small number of people to defeat that they could send a small number of people to defeat them. I want here to tell you, saints, and this scripture should remind us that even if we have an army of millions against our enemy of tens, if God is not with us, then we cannot gain the victory. And Israel seems to have forgotten this fact in this case. But God reminded Joshua, and this should remind each and every one of us, that sin has very real consequences in our lives. And so in the case of the Israelites here, we see that they were bolstered by the conquest of Jericho. We saw in our last lesson that Joshua led the people of Israel now to this next city called Ai to be conquered. Now, it is easy for us to imagine that Joshua and the nation held great confidence that nothing could stand in their way on the road to conquering the land of Canaan. And in particularly, as they approached this seemingly very small city, they said, definitely, this city opposes no real threat to us. I want you to know, saints, that the little things that we sometimes overlook in our lives that end up causing us great defeat and failure, we need to be quite aware that every time we go out, we need to go in the name of the Lord. So in the case of Ai, this community of 12,000 seems to represent to the Israelites and to Joshua an easy victory. But as we read the text, we see something that Joshua did not know at the time. And at the time, Joshua was not aware that God's clear instructions before Jericho's conquest were not followed in this instance. They were not to have taken anything out of Jericho except that was devoted to the Lord. They were to take nothing for themselves. Everything they got from that city of the plunder was to be devoted unto God. So in this particular case, Joshua did not realize that someone had stolen some of the silver and gold and kept it for themselves. Someone said, kept it for themselves. This was the sin that caused the corporate consequences in the life of Israel that we're reading about in this text. The scripture tells us that a man named Achan saw some valuables that he could not resist. He took them. I think about Adam and Eve in the garden, where Eve and Adam were tempted to take of the forbidden fruit, that which God had said not. And we think about the severe consequences that came upon all of humanity as a result of their sin. Here we see a similar type of situation as the children of God are about to conquer the land of their enemies. Today we're studying God judges sin, the very real consequences of sin. So we see so far, as we talk about the corporate consequences of sin, that one man had violated God's law. He thought that taking a few things wouldn't really matter and no one would ever know what he had done. See, these are the little things that we think we get away. But I want you to know, thanks to God, as Scripture bears witness to, that whatever we do in secret, it shall be brought to light. And there are consequences, very real consequences. In this case, we're going to see how devastating they really were. Now, although Achan, this man, had acted alone in disobeying God, his sin affected all of Israel. Verse 1 says that God's anger was kindled against the nation. This man's sin, and some of you listening today may think that what you're doing, that you're only going to hurt yourself, that if something happens, it'll only affect you. But I ask you today to perhaps open up your ears, and you might want to listen to this message today. God's anger was kindled not just against Achan, but it was kindled against the entire nation. Sometimes families or businesses or corporations or ministries or churches face the same type of judgment that we're talking about here. Now, Joshua, unaware of all that had happened, he went ahead with plans to conquer Ai. At the advice of the spies who investigated the land, we read that Joshua decided to send only 3,000 men. And this represented only a small portion, as we understand that Israel's total force is believed to have numbered perhaps 200,000 men. However, we see that when they attacked, Israel's army was defeated and pushed back. In fact, the scripture tells us that 36 soldiers lost their lives and were killed in the battle. Now, with this seemingly defeat, it stunned Joshua. It stunned the elders of Israel, and they all went into mourning. And he even contemplated the far-reaching ramifications of this debacle. He says that the other nations would no longer fear Israel. Now remember, saints, in Jericho, it wasn't the fact that the inhabitants of Jericho feared Israel. It was the fact that they feared God. So you see how sometimes we can think that because God allows us to get a victory, a victory that we realized we could not have won. And now when we face situations and circumstances that sometimes we get the misguided view that, oh, we can handle this on our own. And I believe that some of this is what happened in the case of Joshua and Israel. But now they see they were faced by this defeat, and they began to question God. And sometimes we're the same way, children of God. Sometimes we question God's wisdom. In the case of Joshua, he says, God would not have been better if we had just stayed in the wilderness instead of having our enemies defeat us in this land. So God told Joshua that he should not keep mourning. For God was revealing to Joshua at this point that someone in the camp had sinned. They had violated the covenant that we had made prior to our engaging in defeating the enemies of this land. And that is that they were covenant, they were in agreement that they would not take anything from Jericho for themselves, but someone had sinned by violating that agreement. So clearly we see that God says that one man, and God told him of the sin that this man has committed, and that God's judgment was upon all of Israel. So only one man had sinned. I want you to think about your actions, thanks to God, whether you're a businessman. Think about how it's going to affect your company. Think about how it's going to affect your stakeholders. Think about how it's going to affect your employees. If you're head of a household, think about how it's going to affect your household, your job, your position in the community, your church, your congregation. You need to stop and think for just a moment, because God judges sin. And there are very real consequences to sin in our lives. So as we see with this particular instance of Joshua and the children of Israel, just as it held consequences then, sin still holds far-reaching consequences today. Perhaps we can think about a drunk driver. When a drunk driver kills someone, he doesn't only hurt himself, face the possibility of jail or being killed himself, he injures or possibly kills other people. And it affects their families. If he kills a mother or a father, children are left without their parents. If he kills a husband or wife, and another spouse is left without their spouse. So we see that our actions, though it was because of our sin, has profound impact upon others. And so we need to understand that even untrue words that are spoken foolishly can divide a congregation and can harm its testimony. So listen, children of God, while these acts do not convey the guilt of sin upon others, they help us to understand that sin's consequences are far greater than we might first imagine. So let me ask you this question before we move to our second point. How might those closest to you be impacted if you follow the path of sin? I want you to think about that. And now we're going to look at our second point about lying. First, we talked about the corporate consequences of sin. Now let's talk about the individual consequences of sin. If we look back at the book of Joshua, chapter 7, verse 12 to 15, it reads this. This is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore, God says, unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Go, consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There are devoted things among you, Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them. In the morning, present yourselves tribe by tribe. The tribe the Lord chooses shall come forward by clan, and the clan the Lord chooses shall come forward by family, and the family the Lord chooses shall come forward by man. And whoever is caught with the devoted thing shall be destroyed by fire, along with all that belongs to him, for he has violated the covenant of the Lord and has done an outrageous thing in Israel. To skip down to verse 22 to 26, it says, verse 22, so Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent. And there it was, hidden in the tent, with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites, and spread them out before the Lord. Somebody, let me tell you, saints, what you do in secret, it shall be brought to light. Verse 24, then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, the son of Zerah, the gold, the robe, the gold bar, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys and sheep, his tent, and all that he had to the valley of Achor, which is translation, the valley of trouble, because he had brought trouble upon Israel. Thanks to God, we see in verse 25, Joshua said, why have you brought this trouble on us? So you see, the man's individual sin had consequences for other people as well. But now the person who's directly responsible is going to face the very real consequences of his sin. says, why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today. Then all Israel stoned him. And after they had stoned the rest of his family, they burned them. Over Achan, verse 26, they heaped a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his anger, and therefore the place has been called the Valley of Achor, or the Valley of Trouble, ever since. Thanks to God, we see the very real consequences of sin in the life of Achan and Israel, and some of you may be experiencing very real consequences in your life. I pray that perhaps the Holy Spirit will convict and convert you today, that you can repent and turn away from those things, so that the Lord can be turned away from his anger and offer you forgiveness instead of being set for destruction. It was a very interesting terminology that was used there. Unless you separate that which is destined for destruction among you, you shall be destroyed. So thanks to God, sin will destroy you. We must get rid of the sin. Jesus says it in the New Testament that if your eye causes you to sin, suck it out. If your left hand causes you to sin or right hand, cut it off. It's better to cut it off than to go into hell with two good hands. So whatever it is, maybe your thought life, maybe your actions, maybe your integrity, and maybe your relationship, whatever that is that is against God's command, and the way we really know it's against God is because the Holy Spirit convicts us inside. We try to hide it. You notice Achan did not display the good openly. He knew it was wrong, so he tried to hide it. And this is what we do when it comes to sin. The fact that we try to hide it from others tells us that we know that it is wrong, that it is sin, that it is contrary to God's plan. But I want you to know, saints, there are very real consequences of sin, and we saw Achan and his family face a very stiff penalty in these scriptures. So a question I want to ask you before we go to our third point. How have you dealt with issues of unconfessed sin in your life today? So now let's take a look at our third and final point. And today we're studying God judges sin, the very real consequences. So we see the corporate consequences. We just read about the individual consequences. But now, how can we be forgiven? How can we gain the benefit of removing sin? This is our third and final point. If you were to read Joshua chapter 8, verses 1 through 2 and verses 24 to 29, you'll see that once Achan's sin was dealt with, Israel could move forward to fulfill God's plan. And I want you to know that likewise, God's blessing and favor can be restored to all who confess their sins and seek forgiveness today. So Joshua went on to lead Israel into battle against Ai, but this time they went with a full force, not with a small group as before. This time they walked in agreement with God's plan, and they gained another great victory. So we want you to know just as God did not allow sin to remain over the children of Israel's life, he is a gracious God, but he will not allow sin or tolerate sin today. We realize that we have a battle with temptation. It may not happen on a battlefield like it was in the case of Joshua, but it may happen in our heart. So today we must contemplate the seriousness of our choices. Even as we rejoice in our salvation through Christ, we need to be able to reject sin wherever it threatens our walk with God. I want us to commit to following Christ in purity and so that we can continue to experience spiritual victory today. So what are some of the benefits of removing sin from our lives? Then we have a restored relationship with God. We're able to remove ourselves from the reproach of God. We're able to gain God's favor and experience victory. Every Christian struggles with temptation to sin. We are bombarded on every side with ungodly influences, and unless we reject them, they can pull us away from a right relationship with God. So as you navigate through life in a society pervaded by sin, consistently seek God's help through prayer. Pay close attention to his commands so that you will not be drawn away and become subject to God's judgment. And remember that while God's judgment upon sin is certain, his compassion is extended to all who repent. And as you today, saints, as you walk with him, be quick to confess your sins. And when you fall in thought or deed, I want you to know that God is able to restore you to the fellowship that you once had with him, and you can be made right.
So, saints, in the name of Jesus, may you all gain victory.